Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel reading, Jesus answered the woman, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And then from verse 29, the woman says, "Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah?" Dear friends, on these Sundays in Lent, we are looking at some very long stories from the Gospel of John. The story of Jesus and the woman at the well records the longest conversation in these stories, and that alone indicates how important it is. There's so much packed into this story, so in the short time we have, I'll need to skip over many things. The story is like a deep well, and I only have a little bucket. But let's start with Jesus meeting the woman. There's a picture. When I looked at that picture, I thought, did they really sit down like that? Is that culturally appropriate? But when you read the story, it actually says Jesus was seated, because that's what rabbis do. They sit down to teach. In the Jewish culture of Jesus' time, Jews did not talk with Samaritans, since they despised them, and the man would not talk in public with a woman whom he did not know. So this makes for an interesting scene, and no wonder many artists have wanted to depict it. So let's look at a couple of pictures here. There's that one. That's a more traditional kind of picture. And another one. Like that. And another one. So would Jesus have held her hand? No. Not in that culture. So you can see that some of these pictures kind of romanticize the story. But I doubt that it was very romantic at all, because the woman comes from a position of disadvantage. She's a despised Samaritan, and Jesus is a Jewish rabbi, and she has come to do a menial task. She has come to the well alone in the middle of the day, not early in the morning with the other women. Had they ostracized her because of her reputation? She has come to fetch water. We take water for granted. We just turn on a tap and out gushes clean, fresh water. Getting water was heavy, hard work. And it was the lot of women to get water and carry it home to the village or wherever. Many of us saw this in Papua New Guinea, and that hasn't changed. We're looking at some pictures of women carrying water. That's a picture from Ethiopia. That's the picture from Uganda. Another one. That's from somewhere in Southeast Asia. And another one. That's like Papua New Guinea, because the women are carrying water up a mountain. I've saw this myself in Papua New Guinea. Heavy bamboos full of water. Women carrying them up the mountain to the village. Just by sheer coincidence, today is International Day of Women, a day on which the focus is both on the injustice and hardship that women around the world suffer, but also on the amazing and wonderful achievements of women, both in the past and in our own time. There's a woman in Papua New Guinea, you can see her bilum. She's probably carrying a baby and two buckets of water. In our work in Papua New Guinea, we saw both, didn't we? We saw the hardship and the injustice aptly symbolized by women carrying a huge and heavy bilum or heavy bamboos full of water. But we also saw the resilience of women and how the gospel has been such a liberating power for them in all sorts of ways. Against the culture, the old missionaries, the first ones, from the very start, insisted that girls must go to school. The old men didn't want that to happen. And that was just the beginning. The ministry of Jesus and the teaching of Jesus gave women a status they never had before. Not chattels and virtual slaves, but as St. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. You are heirs according to the promise. So getting back to this story, the woman is disadvantaged before Jesus. But so is Jesus, as he makes himself vulnerable before her. He is the thirsty Messiah, and she is the one with a bucket and access to water. He has to humble himself. "Give me a drink," he asks her. Notice that she doesn't meekly pour him a drink, but questions Jesus why he has crossed a line about culture and gender. "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" We are not actually told whether she actually gave Jesus a drink. That pales into insignificance compared with what Jesus told her. She was delighted when Jesus told her that he had a gift from God to give her, living water. And whoever drinks this water would never be thirsty again. The water in wells and cisterns is usually still and therefore flat and almost stagnant. The word used in Greek for living water also means flowing water. So the woman probably thought that Jesus was some kind of divine man, promising to give her fresh flowing water to drink, and that when you drank from this water, you would never be thirsty again. We see that at the start, the woman was not tuned in to what Jesus was saying, because she was thinking only at the surface level, the level of physical existence. To understand what Jesus is saying, you have to start with natural water and then think about the living spiritual water. In my reading around on this text, I found some words that really helped me, so I'd like to share them with you. Perhaps they will help you. The words I read are these. Water is to natural life as living water is to eternal life. Until about a week ago, we were in a very dry spell. So you don't have to use your imagination to think how dry and parched everything gets when there's no rain and no water. Without water, our gardens shrivel up, our lawns dry out and die. I'm always astonished by the contrast when you drive through the riverland. On the one side, where they irrigate, is green and fruitful, and on the other side, where there's no irrigation, is dry and desolate, and sometimes the sand is blowing across the road up near there at Loxton. Water creates miracles in the desert. Water is the most basic thing in our lives. Without water, we are dead in a few days. Water is one of God's most wonderful gifts to us. Water brings life. Water sustains life. Water refreshes. Water cleanses away filth. Water renews the face of the earth. Water brings life and hope to thirsty people. Water is to natural life as living water is to eternal life. Jesus told the woman and tells us too that the one who gives us the living water that enlivens and sustains us for eternal life is himself. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water, the water in the well, will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The living water that I will give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." Well, that sounds terrific. But what is this living water that Jesus gives? We could answer that in a general way by saying the living water is the grace and blessing from God that Jesus came to bring us. But within that general area, two things I think that stand out in particular. First, Jesus is the giver of the living water because he gives us his life-giving word. Jesus' word and teaching, his revelation to human beings, brings life to them because it brings them to God. Jesus is the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1, which says, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters." And then in verse 3, "Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live." In the wisdom literature of Israel, we read, this is from the book of Sirach, we read this passage where wisdom sings her own praises and says, "The one who eats of me will hunger still. The one who drinks of me will thirst for more." But Jesus claims more than wisdom because he says, "Those who drink of the water that I give will never be thirsty." The word and teaching of Jesus bring life abundant and eternal life. But there is more. This is the second. The teaching of Jesus only comes alive in us through the working of the Spirit. Living water is a picture of the Spirit given to us by Jesus. That for John, living water is a way of talking about the Spirit is really clear from John chapter 7, where Jesus says this: "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." And then John adds by way of explanation, "Now Jesus said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive." So Jesus was doing some wonderful theology about living water. But at first the woman did not get it. How did Jesus get through to her? Well, he showed her that her life was not on track. He said, "Go get your husband and come back." She said, "I don't have a husband." He said, "You're right. You've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband." The living word of truth cut through the brokenness of her life, and she began to realize who Jesus really is. "Sir, I see you are a prophet. And that is only the beginning." This woman is amazing. She doesn't shrivel up when Jesus says something like that. She engages with him. It's like a theological discussion between equals. And they go on talking, as you know, but I have to cut through that. She enters into this discussion, and at the end of the story, she realizes that Jesus is not just a prophet, he is the Christ. So the Jews were waiting for the coming Messiah. The Samaritans were waiting for him too, but they called him in their talk place the Ta'ib, the coming one. And by the end of the story, the living water of Jesus' teaching had really made her come alive. And she runs off to the town to tell everyone, "Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done." Could this be the Ta'ib? Could this be the Messiah? And so they come along and they see him and accept him. And at the end of the story they say, "We know that this is truly the Savior of the world." This is absolutely astonishing. Through the witness of this courageous woman, these outsiders to Israel come to make one of the boldest and most wonderful confessions in the New Testament. "We know that this is the Savior of the world." So what could this story mean for our lives? That's not living water, but could you give me a little bit of that? Thank you, Greg. It'll do. It's okay, Greg. We too need the living water. We too were dying of thirst in a wilderness that there was no way out of. But Jesus came and gave us to drink the living water, the life-giving water of eternal life. Jesus Christ came into our world and took away our sin by dying on a cross. And he was raised to life so that we might share eternal life with him. Jesus Christ is the real thing, and we became alive in him when we were washed in the living water of baptism. For it was in baptism that we died to sin and we were reborn to eternal life. And we are renewed in our faith when we come to the living water, as we do today, beginning with the service, with the water. And as we will sing in the hymn soon, I love the hymn 306. And the second verse, notice this when we sing it in a moment. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give the living water. Thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. Life can become dry and parched, a real wilderness sometimes. We need to turn away from the dryness and deadness of our lives through repentance and turning to God. And we need to come to Jesus and sit by his feet at the well of salvation. His word is living water because it washes away our sins, restores our souls, renews our lives. And his spirit is living water because Jesus pours his spirit on us as we hear his word, so that the word becomes alive in us and we become alive in our faith, alive to God and alive forever with the gift of eternal life. The true worship of God, when we worship God in spirit and in truth, is when we receive the living water that Jesus Christ gives. And that water becomes in us a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. And when that happens, then we become like the woman in the story, those who cannot but speak of what they have seen and heard. There's lots of thirsty people out there. There are people who know the barrenness and dryness of their own lives, but they don't know where to get the living water. Well, we can tell them, like the woman, we can tell them what Jesus has done for us. And we can ask them, could this be the one from God that we've all been waiting for? Come and see, she said. And then someday they will say to us, as the people said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Saviour of the world. Amen.